Hey everybody, this is John Maroon, President of Maroon PR. Thank you for once again tuning into Spin is a Four-Letter Word, the Maroon PR podcast. This year, we are calling our podcast The Brew, because you'll be hearing from all of our teammates about how they do their jobs, how they brew success for our clients. So hopefully you'll get some great takeaways that you can apply to your business. We appreciate you listening. And please give us a follow at Maroon PR and let us know what you think, if there's any topics that you want to hear about. Thanks, and here's The Brew.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of The Brew. I'm your host, Rocco DeSangro, and joining me on this episode is our founder and president of Maroon PR, John Maroon, and account director, Sophie Rogers. And today we're going to talk about a brand and a concept that is very important to us. John, we work out of these three buckets. We pride ourselves on this: Maroon Cares, Maroon Plays, and Maroon Gathers. And this episode, we're talking specifically about Maroon Gathers, what it is and why it's so important to us. If you want to start and take it from there and touch on it.
We decided to kind of lean into some areas in which we really have a focus and where we feel incredibly confident. And certainly hospitality is one of those focuses. So we created a bucket, for lack of a better word, or a part of the company that we call Maroon Gathers. And that's our hospitality arm. Sophie Rogers, who is an account director with us, and most of her clients are in this area, are in Maroon Gathers, and it creates a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of really exciting and interesting clients in this. There's also some challenges, right? I mean, since COVID, hospitality space has faced really hard budget decisions to make. Their margins are very, very tight, especially in the restaurant space. So, you know, there are some challenges. Now, that said, even more opportunity, because they need agencies that can bring more bang for the buck than if they were able to hire one person and whatnot. So we found some real good footing there. Hollywood Casinos, we have two of them, which are amazing properties and a great client to work with. The Marriott and Owings Mills, you know, they've been with us since they opened and they've really valued it. And Sophie's done a great job with a couple of fun campaigns there. Preakness Festival recently with the First Lady of Maryland and the Maryland Sport and Entertainment Corporation. That was a huge success and really helped us develop our influencer network. So there's a lot of cool things we can do. I mean, I know with Soph, from your perspective, when you started and were elevated to account director, it was largely because of the work you were doing in the Maroon Gathers space and in the hospitality space. So that's a bit of a passion for you, isn't it?
Definitely. It's easy to relate to, I feel like. Or, you know, everyone stays in hotels. Everyone goes to restaurants. So it's really kind of cool to see the other side of that and be able to create content that I would like to see if I was looking for a restaurant to go to or a hotel to stay at or a casino to go to. So yeah, I really found a passion in that area and getting to be really creative with different campaigns, like you said, and different types of content and keeping up with trends. It's really, that industry, I feel, is very flexible to, you know, social media trends and what's going on TikTok and Instagram today. So I've really enjoyed working in that space.
And so if you've taken charge and done a fantastic job in the hospitality space, and like John talked about, like a lot of your clients are hospitality related. John, for you, 19 years ago, when you're bringing this agency to life, why hospitality? Why the restaurant and the food and beverage space? Like, what made you want to be so deeply involved with this?
I didn't. You know, like everything that happened at this agency, it just kind of happened. We didn't set out with these audacious goals, like, let's get into hospitality. Yeah. It starts with baby steps, right? I mean, back then, Renee Ullman, who's in charge of the Marriott, she was with other hotels back then, and we connected with her and had a good relationship. She brought us on some project work there. Marshall Weston and the gang over at the Maryland Restaurant Association, the Restaurant Association of Maryland, RAM, they've brought us on. We developed a good relationship there. So it just felt, and then it got to the point where it felt, that's an area where we know we can be successful. You get a good chef, you get a good spokesperson, you get a cool location or a new place opening up. We know that that's a place that's something that media is going to be really interested in. And now with the advancement of these influencers and the creation of the Maroon PR Influencer Network, which we're going to formally launch later this week, now we just know the model. And we're working with a client right now that's the formation of which is being announced next week, which is in the hospitality space in a significant way. So there's a lot going on there. But I think from an agency standpoint, the challenge is helping them use their limited budget as effectively as possible in that earned, owned, and paid spaces. And Sophie does a great job with that. We saw that really firsthand. I'll go back to the Preakness Festival recently, Sophie. I think you really incorporated our three tenets of public relations really well there.
That was a true example of using earned, owned, and paid tactics in one campaign to promote a brand new event. So it was really cool to be a part of working with a large larger than I'm used to influencer budget to really get to activate some people who create really high quality content and know and have really loyal followings. Being able to do that, that was really cool and really think helped expand our, like you said, influencer creator network and form really strong relationships. Being able to tap people that we've known and worked with in the past, but maybe had limited budget, being able to really compensate them for what they are doing was really a cool experience. And I think it helped us a lot build those relationships and strengthen them.
For sure. And I think, look, as you always look back on the using the Earn Piece as an example, when all of you listening that are into the hospitality space or want to get into the hospitality space, there's some really key components that have to make sense. You need to have a really good spokesperson. You need to have a really interesting event or an interesting space to enhance and you'd be able to tell those stories. Preakness Festival, we had a very unfair advantage. We had the First Lady of Maryland as a spokesperson. And not only was she a spokesperson, she was an enthusiastic spokesperson. So Sophie would line up all sorts of stuff for her to do, Sophie and Emma, and boom, she would say, I'm in. And she would just do it. And then the connective tissue between her and some of the Baltimore and Maryland influencer network. And then, you know, we did have a budget to do some paid advertising that we worked with TBC on and, you know, another agency, a partner agency. So it really came together quickly because it was one of those things that was thrust upon us about maybe 8 weeks or 12 weeks before it was going to happen. And we made it successful. And I think for next year's, we're going to have a little more time to work. But making sure you have the visuals, you know, hospitality needs to be visual and having some really great visuals, having a great spokesperson, having a story, you need to, what's going to be appealing to the media is key. And we've been fortunate with our casino clients and our restaurants. That's the advantage of hospitality. The advantage is generally it's interesting. People want to see it. They want to talk to them. They want to dig deeper into it. The challenge is usually budget reasons. And the people are stretched so thin, they work endless hours. So having their time commitment, those are the things that you got to kind of get used to working through.
And John, you said it, you know, you hit the nail on the head and you said it before. It's like this agency works most effectively with a client when we can access earned, owned, and paid. But that's not always the case with every client you work with in the hospitality space. It could be they might only want earned relations and social media. They might not want to do anything with paid. How are we still able to, as an agency, effectively reach what they want to do and help them accomplish their goals? Because we've done it in the past.
It's a good question, Rocco. It's, you know, we drive growth through relationships. You know, I mean, Room PR, we really are prideful about our relationships with the media in the region, with the influencers in the region. So we have that. Now, that said, you make a really good point, because I think when most media outlets see a hospitality space, they're like, great, let's do some advertising as well. So you get creative, you try to find some budget. We always just think, like, even if it's budget for social, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's a few hundred bucks a month to elevate your social, that's cool. But our mantra to all of our clients is you need to have a toe in each one of those to be really, truly effective and help us be successful for you. You know, so, and I think we had that with some clients more than others, but you do what you can, you do the best you can for the clients. Ultimately, though, for them to be successful, they need to be committed and have a longer view approach. I think oftentimes in hospitality, one of the challenges is, you know, we have a grand opening in 6 weeks and we just need that. Go get all the media there. And oftentimes we do it. Oftentimes we decline taking part in that because I don't want to set everybody up for failure.
Yeah, it's not in the long term, not as effective. But yeah, with, like you said, budget, sometimes it doesn't allow for all three. And like John said, even if you can just find a little bit of money for social media, and then we've kind of found ways with some of our clients who really have consistently made room in their budget for social media or social media advertising. We've really found unique ways to balance that budget in everyday social media management, creating really cool content, creating cool partnerships, as well as activating really focused social media advertising campaigns for them, for their priorities throughout the year and planning those to highlight their key priorities, really, features and amenities of their business.
Well, I think too, it's interesting, Sophie, I want to ask you about one specific client, because with challenges, always even challenges in terms of content, you know, how do we really, where I'm going is with the Marriott, Owings Mills Marriott. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've been a great client for a number of years. They value what we do for them, especially in the social media space. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a hotel and we need some fresh ideas to really keep showing it in a really cool light. And we came up with a really neat idea because we knew they were a dog friendly space. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So I can't take complete credit for it, but I can take credit for activating it. But the idea came about to cross promote the Baltimore Humane Society, which is really close by to the hotel. It's like 10 minutes down the road. When the hotel became dog friendly in the last year, we wanted to do more than just, you know, posing cute dogs in a fluffy robe. We wanted to do something that had a little bit more meaning and also bring in the outside community. So the idea came about to start a partnership with the Baltimore Humane Society. So they bring in pets like once a month, basically. And we do a little photo shoot with them. We bring them into a hotel room or hotel suite or one of the amenities at the hotel. And we do a little content shoot with them. And we post on the hotel's page that they're available to adopt, a little bit about the dog or cat. We haven't done a cat yet, but we want to. a little bit about them. They're available. And also, you know, this dog came to check out our pet friendly amenities. So really dipping into both of those buckets and benefiting both parties involved and making it worth the time, and also hosted a few events. We
did Plus, people love dogs, right?
Yeah. People love dogs. It's great for content. It's great for social media engagement, but supporting that organization, a local organization, is worthwhile also. So it's a win-win.
Another specific line I'd love to talk more about is the Preakness Festival, the inaugural. There was no like baseline or model that we could go off of with that. So this was the first. And so if you did it, fantastic job. I think our team overall just did unbelievable work, but it didn't happen overnight. This was working out of those earned, paid, owned, and then influencers as well. So can you kind of talk more about how all like that all came together, what it looked like from a standpoint early on, and how you guys like helped the Preakness Fest like really grow over time?
I think it did happen overnight, actually.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
you know, it was one of those.
Sorry.
We always said we were building the plane while we were flying it, right? There was a small window. It was a great idea that was conceived by the First Lady, by Dawn Moore. And then she went to Terry Hazeltine, our good friend and client, and got the Maryland Sport and Entertainment Corporation involved. And so, like, okay, let's go. Let's roll. Yeah. And, you know, one of the challenges, like all the time, is it's time. But the advantage is that we had assets, yep. We had a budget, we had a team, we had the First Lady. The challenges were more, what's it going to look like? The other challenge, frankly, was like people, we had to help people differentiate between the Preakness and the Preakness Festival.
Yeah.
And that social media sites, there were brand new sites being launched. Preakness Festival was brand new handles, all that stuff. And we had to populate those, get those to grow, utilize the influencers to help people follow, utilize the First Lady and the governor's significant following to help increase that. So it was a lot to do. It was certainly, I think, safe to say, fun, yep, for everybody, but also incredibly challenging at times. But the end result was terrific. In fact, the good news is for the next year's Preakness, we're going to be able to start that probably in the next month or so, which will give us plenty of runway and will even be more effective.
Yeah, and like you said, it was the first year. So I think a big part in having the First Lady and the governor in our corner was really important in establishing credibility for the event, that this is a real thing. This is happening. It's different from Preakness. It's meant to complement Preakness Stakes, but it's the new thing and it's different and it's cool. So using earned tactics to promote ticket sales, artist announcements, changing priorities all the time, and getting more media coverage for that was definitely kind of working on the fly, but aligned well with the social media efforts of TBC and the influencer effort to really establish this event in its first year.
Yeah, and I will add that, like, if you're working with a hospitality client and getting into that space or aspiring to get into that space, just know that being nimble is a really important thing because timelines change a lot. You know, if you take a restaurant opening, oftentimes that gets pushed back for construction or permitting or whatever. So being nimble, being flexible, changing your plans on the fly, we see it all the time, mostly in this space, right? I mean, you don't see it when you're working with a nonprofit generally. You don't see it when you're working with a small business or a personal services company, but you see it fairly regularly in the hospitality space because they have they're juggling so much stuff that invariably timelines generally change. Oftentimes staff changes. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Yeah, that we've experienced that a lot, right? The chefs, the cooking staff is very nomadic, right? In this space.
Your business can change.
Yeah, the whole and everything then could change. So just as you get into it, if you want to get into it, if you are in it, you know this already, but you need to really be prepared for the expect the unexpected, as they say.
John, another one that I'd love for you to talk about is just the Hollywood casinos, yeah, both Perryville and Charlestown races, because they're location-wise, they're not right in Washington, D.C.'s backyard or Baltimore's backyard, despite how close they seem in proximity. And you talked about, you know, grand openings and how we kind of, it's the lead up and then you got like the aftershock as well with it. Can you touch on some of the work we've done for them and like what that looks like from a location perspective and just from an overall perspective, casino wise?
Yeah. So they've been with us a number of years now. To your point, they're both not near major media hubs, right? Charlestown, West Virginia, closest major media market is DC. It's not that close. Perryville, closest could be Philly. It could be Baltimore. It's someone smack in the middle of the two, right? So point of that being that you have to get super creative with what they do. And with Charlestown, they do so many great things in the community. So they do great things in the community with veteran causes and whatnot. So we try to really embrace that and rally around that. They have a really big push with the Asian community every year. So we try to really enhance that and use that for some media relations efforts. When they do have a chef, that makes sense. We do that when they open the sports book, right? They recently rebranded their sports book to ESPN Bet. And, you know, they wanted to make a big thing out of that. So I think, Rock, you were involved in this. We got Ryan Ripken's podcast involved with them. And he went up there. We had an influencer who's big on wings come up and test their chicken wings and do a nice post about that. So my point is, it's not like if you're in the heart of DC, you're in the heart of Baltimore, you're in the heart of Chicago. You gotta do different sorts of things and really kind of highlight what they're doing. The other thing about Charlestown, they have a huge event center. They have concerts that are really compelling. And they do a great job of asking those artists to be available for media interviews. And Carmel Gambacorda and Mike Twiname, who run that account for us, they do a spectacular job of getting these artists on local media to push the tickets a couple of months before the show. And it really is a needle mover. It makes a big difference for them. And it's cool for Mike and Carm, right? Yeah. They get to engage with some of these artists and some of these comedians. So we've been able to be effective for them. The last thing I'll say about Hollywood Casinos, both locations, and Hollywood Casinos broadly across all of their locations, which is in excess of 40, is award submissions. Our main contact there, Jamie Brown, is wonderful. And one of her primary goals was to get more recognition for their executives and for their top women leaders and whatnot. And so one thing that Carm does is she does a lot of interviews, a lot of deep digging in different markets for award opportunities, interviews with potential award recipients. And then she goes through the oftentimes arduous task of submitting these awards. And she's won 14, a 15 lot. Of them this year alone for them. And that's in all markets, not just the two primary that we call clients. So that has been a huge benefit as well, and something I think that we'll take to other clients as well, because Carm's created a great model for that. So, you know, sometimes when you're not sitting in the middle of a major media hub, okay, what else can we do? And it's when you have to stretch yourself and be more creative and look at what other cool stuff they have and ways in which you can celebrate that.
Absolutely. So, John, do you guys have anything other case studies specifically you want to talk about before you get out of here and wrap up?
One I think is really cool, and we're just getting our sea legs under us with this, Rock, and it's interesting. So as many of you may know, one of our more significant clients and long-term clients is the Maryland Food Bank, and Sophie works really closely on that with Nancy Ashroff, and they have a bit of that's under Maroon Cares, but they have a bit of a Maroon Gathers side business, right? So they have a workforce development program called FoodWorks, and it really helps folks getting back on their feet, maybe train them up, never really had a career path, looking for a career path, trains them up, and then trains them how to be chefs. And I think that really kind of it's a fascinating program. It's led by Chef Mo over at the Maryland Food Bank, who does a tremendous job. And they're starting to see these classes grow, the need for this workforce development in this space happening. And we're charged now with helping them tell that story. And there's some really compelling stories there with the chefs. I mean, Sophie, you see, you and Emma have been down there for video shoots multiple times. We've been, you know, had some media hits there. And we're trying to do a little bit more now as we've been starting to learn the leaders in there and some of the students. Talk a little bit about the work you're doing with FoodWorks, because I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, it's a really cool story to tell. It's a completely free program that you don't need any experience to be a part of. 12 weeks intensive. It's culinary school. So yeah, they bring them in and provide real guidance. So being able to tell that story is really fun, but being able to tap into some of the tactics that we typically use for our Gathers clients and using that experience for this other kind of organization or program, like talking about influencer activation, and, you know, it's food. Can we use foodie influencers? Is that a way that can overlap to promote the program to people who might be looking for it or might just be interested in following along? So been able to do it in earn media. Local media has found that very interesting. We've done a few open houses that we just open up a time period for them to come in and interview the chefs and get some B-roll, and had really great success with that.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say about that is, you know, like many clients, you know, there's oftentimes you're asking people that have never been in front of a camera to be in front of a camera, whether it's Emma's camera or whether it's Channel 13's camera, and that could be unnerving. So part of what we try to do too is prep them, make them feel at ease, make them comfortable, know that they're talking about themselves, know that they're talking about the program, subject matter they know about. So really helping them through that sort of uneasiness too is part of the process as well. But it's a great opportunity. It's an amazing program. It's literally saving lives. And, you know, as it continues to grow, we're growing with with it.
A lot of great things in the works for Maroon Gathers going forward. Just looking forward to seeing what's ahead and in the future for the company, for that bucket, part of our bucket, and just, you know, everything we do here with that. But that's going to wrap it up for a brand new episode of The Brew. For John Maroon and Sophie Rogers, I'm Rocco DeSangro. Be sure to follow us on all our social media platforms and check us out at maroonpr.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Hey, it's John Maroon again. Thank you for listening to Spin is a Four-Letter Word. And just a reminder, if you can, follow us on all the major social media platforms at Maroon PR. If you have an idea or suggestion, let us know what you think, and we'll see you soon.